It is so good to see each and every one of you right here in the Kearney campus. I also want to say hello to North Platte, Ogallala, and New Life Online, and a special happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. Will you just give it up for the fathers in the room, wherever you are? Let's give it up for the fathers. You may not know this, but my father-in-law happens to be Pastor Jeff. My wife, Tiffany, is one of Pastor Jeff and Kim's daughters. And when I think of good fathers, I think of Pastor Jeff. One of the things I love about him and about Kim is that it does not matter where you encounter them, where you're hanging out with them. It could be at the coffee shop. It could be in the church lobby. I've been in foreign countries with Pastor Jeff. And here's the thing that you got to know about these guys. They are the same in every environment. And I love that about them. I think it speaks to their character and their integrity, and so it's an honor to serve underneath their leadership here, and I just want to say to Pastor Jeff, I hope you have an amazing Father's Day. Now, when we talk about fathers, fathers have a significant impact on us, for better or for worse. Some of us, man, we have great fathers. We have a father that is the one that you would choose if it was up to you. Maybe you, though, have a father that hasn't been so great in your life. Maybe you've got a father that wasn't ever present in your life. Or maybe your father was a little bit like mine, and he wasn't around long enough before he passed away. Regardless of what your father's story is, I think we can all agree that the father plays a significant role in our life. Again, for better or for worse. And I want you to know today, no matter what your father relationship is, whether it's great, it's healthy, it's growing, or it's non-existent, or it's been hurtful, there is a great equalizer on this Father's Day. And that's what we're going to spend time talking about today. The great equalizer is that we all have a heavenly father that loves us, that cares for us, who wants to bless us with good gifts, that wants to be a part of our lives and lead us and walk with us. And so we all have a heavenly Father that we can turn to. And so today, that's going to be our focus. My hope is that at some point this morning, you'll experience the presence of our heavenly Father. Maybe you've done it already, and God used somebody that you talked to out in the lobby that encouraged you, and he spoke through that person, and you sensed God was speaking to you. Maybe it happened in what we just witnessed and were a part of with opening worship. Maybe it's going to be during this message if you have your heart open and you're leaning in and you're saying, God, what do you want to speak to me today? Perhaps it'll be as you respond at the end of service to what God has been leading you to. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you've been a little rebellious towards your heavenly Father. I know at times I butted heads with my earthly father, but in the end, my earthly father was a great representation of my heavenly Father. And I'm going to share a few lessons that I learned about my heavenly Father really through the lens and the wisdom that he imparted to me through my earthly father. We're in a teaching series called A Better Way. And today we're going to look at the role of a father in helping us live according to Jesus' way, the best way. And so before we do that, let's dive in. Let's take a moment and let's pray. And let's just ask the Heavenly Father to have his way. Father, we thank you so much that on this day that we can connect with you, that no matter what our earthly father relationship is like, we can call out to you, we can speak to you, we can experience your presence today. And so we ask that you would speak to each and every one of us what it is you have that you want to tell us today. You are a good father, and we want to acknowledge that right off the bat, that you are a good father, and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So like I said, in honor of Father's Day, that's the theme that we're going to run with today, is that we have a heavenly Father that is just an amazing Father that loves us. And sometimes he uses people like our earthly fathers to communicate what he wants to us. And so I'm going to talk a lot about my dad, Bruce Eugene Cumming. He was an incredible man. I want to tell you a little bit about him. He was raised in northeastern Colorado, born in the town of Julesburg, and he spent a lot of his childhood in northeastern Colorado, and it was apparent from a very early age that my dad had a brilliant business mind. When it came to business, when it came to finance, my dad was gifted. Let me give you an example, and I think you're going to agree with me. In one of the homes in which he and his family lived when he was a kid, they lived near a mortuary, a funeral home. And my dad was outside playing one day, and he comes across this pair of false teeth. False teeth, okay? Laying on the ground. I'm sure it was from somebody that, you know, was over at the funeral home. And man, how many of you would be grossed out by that? Okay? A lot of hands are going up. I'm sure there are as well in North Platte, Ogallala, even you online. If you think it's disgusting, put like the puking emoji in the comments right now. But my dad, he was not grossed out by it. He was not like, oh man, I got to go get surgical gloves and you know, barely want to touch it. No, my dad looked at those false teeth and he saw dollar signs. You know what he did? He took those, he scooped them up, and that night he placed them under his pillow. And he was thinking, I'm going to have a payday when I wake up in the morning. Man, he was hoping the fairy, like the tooth fairy, was going to be coming and visiting and paying off. He graduated from Southern Utah State College, that's now Southern Utah University. He loved my mom. Man, that is one of the things, when I think about my dad, that's one of the first things I think about, is how much he loved my mom. He loved us kids as well. I have three siblings, and my dad just loved people. That's who my dad was. I want to show you a picture of our family. I wish I could just look at it and be like, oh, I know exactly when this was. I remember it clearly. I actually only know the date because it's so old, it has the timestamp on it. You guys remember those photographs? All right. So this was November 26, 1992. I'm the 10-year-old sitting next to my mom. My younger brother, Bobby, he plays guitar here at the Kearney campus. He's sitting on my mom's lap. Cute kid, by the way. Then we got my sister, and I cannot wait. I'm going over to her house later this afternoon, and I'm going to show her this picture and be like, Holly, what were you doing with all the denim? Like, seriously, the denim and the tie, and then we got my dad, and then my older brother, Mike. Side note, I found that t-shirt actually on Friday when I was at my mom's. I'm going to probably be leading worship in that one of these days soon. But anyways, that's my family, and that's my dad. I'm so proud to be able to say that he was my dad. My dad loved Butterfingers. It was his favorite candy bar, but he was not going to discriminate. He loved Snickers and just about anything chocolate, like my mom. She loves chocolate. My dad, he loved, this was weird, okay? I'm just going to tell you, this was weird to me. I remember one time I come down into the kitchen, and my dad has peanuts and Coke, a bottle of Coke, and he's not like eating a handful of peanuts and then drinking a Coke. He's putting the peanuts in his Coke, and he's drinking the Coke and eating the peanuts the same way. I had never seen this. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? And apparently that's what his dad did. And so not only did he enjoy the Coke and the peanuts, there was a bit of nostalgia wrapped up in that. And he was remembering his dad as he drank that. My dad loved one-liners, these mantras, these cliches, like, life's not fair. You can imagine what I'm standing there and I'm complaining about something and da-da-da-da. And he'd just say, Dave, life's not fair. And what's he really communicating? He's saying, Dave, you got to expect that life's not always going to be the way that you think it should be. Get over it, expect it, and move on, okay? Life's not fair. I hated when he would say that, by the way, okay? And now, as a parent, as a father of five kids, I'm sitting there thinking, what are the things I say to my kids that they're going to grow up and hate like I hated life's not fair? But my dad had one mantra or one-liner that you're probably familiar with, and he would say, hindsight is 20/20. Hindsight is 20/20. He used to use that one all the time. And I love when I think about my dad, and specifically that phrase, my dad was so good at analyzing the past, but not being stuck in the past. He would look at the past. Hindsight's 20/20. He would look with greater clarity on the past than maybe you have when you're living it and you're in the moment. He would look at the past. He would learn from it, and then he would move on. When I got home from a basketball game, we shared that passion. And when I got home from a basketball game, he'd want to know. He'd be waiting. Dave, what'd the coach say? What'd the coach have to say? And it wasn't because he wanted to undermine the coach. He loved my coaches. He was always supportive, but it was in his DNA to want to evaluate, to analyze, get better, and then move on and be better the next time we went out onto the court. So I learned that from my dad. Hindsight is 20/20, and really I would frame it this way because I don't want to necessarily just copy his phrases, although maybe that'd make this better, but I would say this. The first lesson that I want to share with you today that I learned really about God that lines up with his word, but I learned it from my dad was this, that learn from the past, but don't live in it. Learn from the past, but don't live in it. Hindsight's 20/20. You want to look at the past. You want to learn from it, but we don't need to be stuck there. We don't need to be caught up in our past because, one, you can't do anything to change it, but two, it doesn't define you. It doesn't define us unless we let it define us. Now, I'm going to tell you, like, I'm somebody that loves to try to strive for perfection. And so when I mess up, when I fail, I am so tempted to hold on to that and stew on it. And maybe you can relate to that where you feel like, man, I wish you're just full of regret. You wish you could go back and you wish you could change something. I struggle sometimes to even admit my flaws. But then when I think about my dad, I can learn from my past, but I don't have to live in my past. You see, we like to get fixated on our mistakes. The enemy wants us to believe that we are defined by our worst days. He wants us to believe that we're defined by our worst mistakes, our sin, our failure, our mess ups. And if we do that, then it's like we live in our own personal jail. Yeah, we might be driving to and from work, or we might be going to meet a friend at the coffee shop, but we're living in our own personal jail when we are stuck in the past and we're letting our worst mistakes define us. Chances are that resonates with you. We get fixated on our worst mistakes, and then our past becomes this personal jail that we live in, that we try to break free from. Well, I want you to take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 and what God's word tells us. So the next time you feel like you are defined by your past, you can tell yourself what you know is true from God's word. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? A new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. When we feel trapped by our past, one of the best things we can do is tell ourselves what we know is true from God's word. This verse tells us that we are not who we used to be. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. We are not who we used to be. The old life is gone. A new life has come because we are now found in Christ. You have new life in Christ. You are not defined by your past. You are a new creation. So learn this lesson that my dad taught me. Learn from the past, but don't live in it. We can gain a lot of wisdom from the past if we have that healthy, godly perspective of it. We can leverage hindsight to learn from our mistakes so we don't make them again. We can leverage hindsight to make today better than yesterday was. Our Heavenly Father loves to give us wisdom. And one of the ways he does it is when we look at the past to learn from it, not to stew over it, not to find our identity from the past, but to learn from it and move on. Learn from the past, but don't live in it. My dad, he passed away 23 years ago. Last week, June 14th, was the 23rd anniversary of his passing. And a few years ago, I remember I was thinking about my dad, and I had this startling realization. I mean, it was something that just bothered me and bothered me and bothered me. And it was this, I was thinking about my dad, and in my head, I could not remember what his voice sounded like. It had been so long since I'd heard his voice that I couldn't remember what it sounded like. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. We didn't have smartphones where we took video of every little thing and then we could play it back and you can easily search and find it every time you pull out your phone. And we had a camcorder and a VHS player. You know, we have some home movies of my dad, but I couldn't hear his voice. And that drove me crazy. I was saddened by it. It was like I had one level of grief that I had not gone through yet all these years later. But then I discovered something, and it changed everything as it relates to me remembering my dad. I realized that all I have to do is remember one memory where I can hear my dad's voice clearly, and it's like it comes back. Because I haven't had any new conversations with him. I haven't had any recent conversations. I have to go back to one specific memory, and I'm going to share it with you. So as a senior in high school, as seniors in high schools typically do on Saturday mornings, I was sleeping in. How many of y'all love Saturday mornings? Even to this day, some of you. Saturday mornings are for sleeping in. At least that's what I thought. And I worked hard all week in school. I tried my best. I was involved in a lot of activities. I stayed up way too late on Friday night, and I was going to sleep in. And I could take, I could take you right back to the bedroom at my mom's house, second floor, northeast corner of the house. I was laying on my right side, looking to the west, underneath the window, and I hear, "Dave, are you going to get up and get anything done today?" And it was my dad at the bottom of the stairs communicating a truth that I'm going to share with you guys. But I take myself right back to that moment, and I can hear his voice clearly. I wish I could have some other conversations where I hear his voice, but I remember it. "Dave, are you going to get up and do anything today?" Oh, my gosh. Takes me right back. The lesson, though, is this. The future you want is built by what you do today. And in that moment, as I was trying to sleep in, like, let's be real, it was probably after 12 o'clock. It was probably like 12:30 p.m. I was sleeping in, okay? And he was communicating to me, "Don't be lazy. Don't procrastinate. It's good to dream. It's good to have a future that you're working towards. But the future you want is built by what you do today." And he was teaching me a lesson from God's word. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. I'm not going to put them on the screen. But it's talking about you reap what you sow. In verse 7, it says you harvest what you plant. And he was wanting to make sure that I wasn't planting a bunch of laziness because he didn't want me to harvest what comes from laziness. The future you want is built by what you do today. Now, if the enemy, if he can't trap you in the past, what he loves you to do is skip right over today and think about the future. And just think about the future. And daydream. Put off your responsibilities today because you're so focused on the future and picturing that fairy tale. But what God wants us to do is to maximize today. Forever, eternity with Him is promised for every believer. I get it. When I'm saying tomorrow, when I'm talking about future, I'm talking about in this life. The enemy loves it when we are just daydreaming and procrastinating our responsibilities today. Without maximizing today, that future, that vision for your life, that daydream, it's just going to be a fairy tale. And if we're not careful, we can get stuck thinking that that future is just going to magically appear one day. That it's just going to automatically somehow show up and be this picture-perfect future. For you, when you picture your future, do you picture it on a beach? Every day, waking up with not a care in the world, listening to the waves crash in. Maybe for you, you picture, man, every morning that I spend in retirement, I am waking up, no aches or pains. I'm making my way to the golf course, and I'm going to swing, and on that backswing, I'm going to just know that, like Pastor Roger, I'm going to knock it straight down that fairway, straight as an arrow. No aches and pains. Maybe when I'm in retirement, I'm going to be good enough at pickleball that I can take out Pastor Gary finally. All right? I don't know what you dream, what your vision is for your future, but I'm here to tell you today that your future is built by what you do today. And the future is worth planning for. The future is worth being motivated and inspired by. So I'm not discrediting the future. I'm not discrediting. In fact, I think it's a really good thing to plan for your retirement. I think it's good to be putting money away and saving for your retirement. But you got to know that if we get so focused on the future, we're going to miss out on what God has for us today. And in this series, A Better Way, I want you to realize today that your best days are now. You can't change the past. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet. Your best days are right now. And I believe a living according to the ways of Jesus, he's wanting us to live with the future in mind, but to maximize today. The future you want is built by what you do today. My dad modeled this for my family and I so well. My mom and my dad, they met in Julesburg. They get married and they move back to Cozad, Nebraska. And my mom's parents had this business, and a family business that they had started. They'd done a very good job with it. It was a healthy business. My dad came back as my grandpa's apprentice with the vision that my mom and my dad were eventually going to take over the business when my mom's parents were ready to retire. And so that day came, and my parents become the owners and the leaders of the business. And my dad, that brilliant business mind that was evident all those years ago with the false teeth and the dollar signs he saw then, he took a good, strong, healthy business and made it great. But he didn't just do it by wishing. He didn't do it by just sitting around and daydreaming and expecting it to magically happen. My dad worked hard day in and day out. He was a visionary that understood how to maximize today. And if you maximize enough todays, then all of a sudden you're going to wake up and you're going to see that the future that you had been envisioning has come to fruition. He took the business in Cozad and he expanded it. He added a second location not too long before he ended up passing away. And that location is thriving, and it was amazing to see that he had this vision, and it was through hard work and maximizing day in and day out with great consistency while keeping that vision in mind that vision came to fruition. Here at New Life, we are blessed with a godly visionary leader. I wish so badly that my dad could have met Pastor Jeff. I think I would have loved to sit in that conversation. Maybe one day in heaven, I'll get to experience that. I don't know. They'll probably have more important things than meeting each other. Probably, you know, worshiping Jesus is going to be the top on their list. But we are blessed with a visionary leader that knows that we can't just sit around wishing and hoping and expecting this amazing future to happen. We want to, much like my dad built on the shoulders of my granddad, Pastor Jeff has come and he is building on the shoulders of the giants of faith that came before him. And we know that we are not intended to stay right here in Kearney and North Platte, Ogallala, and online, that God has given us a vision to plant more campuses, to continue to be a life-giving church in other communities. Why? So that people can find Jesus and their lives change. That's not going to just magically happen. We have to be good stewards of today with the resources that God has given us, make disciples today, and we'll believe God to lead us into that future. As pastor of expansion, I want to give you a quick update. We feel like we're starting to hone in on where God is wanting us to plant our next campus. If it was dialed in, it was 100%, I'd tell you right now, I'd probably get fired because that's something that Pastor Jeff needs to share with you guys. But we are making progress. We have seen God already starting to give us favor and wisdom and direction. And I'm going to go out on a limb because I had a conversation with Jeff, and I know it's in his heart, so I can say it with full confidence. With campus number 5, we're believing that campus number 6 is going to follow on its heels not too long after. Yeah, so we can celebrate that in faith. We can celebrate that in faith, and we need to have faith for that, but we also need to be good stewards of today. It's not going to just magically happen, campus 5, campus 6. So here's what I want you to do. This is for everybody. I want you to pray right now and in the days and weeks ahead, asking God, one, for his provision and his favor as we continue to pursue where are we going with our next campus? Where does he want us to plant? What community does he have for New Life to have a presence in? I want you to be praying, what's my involvement? What's my involvement with that next campus? And that's a way that you can maximize today and be sowing seeds and investing for the future. What am I supposed to do? Is it to pray and that's it? That's my responsibility, Lord? Am I to give? Am I to go and be a part of the launch team? Right now, before we're launching, before we have nailed that down, I want you to pray. And each one of us take that upon ourselves, that responsibility of taking it before the Lord and seeing what he has for you. If you are called to ministry or you think you might be called to ministry, I want to help you figure out what you can be doing today so that you're ready when God opens the door for you to step into ministry. Email me, dave@mynewlifechurch.com. dave@mynewlifechurch.com if you are called to ministry or you sense a call to ministry. And I'm going to help you figure out how do you maximize today so that you can begin building the foundation to hold what God is going to give you tomorrow. In Matthew chapter 25, this is a biblical principle that we see. Doing well with what we have so that God gives us more and we can go and we can continue to invest in his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a story of three servants. There's a master and he gives talents. He gives bags of silver to each one of them with the intention that they will invest it and they will steward that opportunity well. And the master goes away and he comes back. The first two masters, two servants double what the master had given them. And the third one, just he's scared, and he doesn't do anything with it, and he buries it, and he comes back and doesn't have anything extra. He hasn't improved upon what the master had given him. And I say all that to just set up, there's one verse then where Jesus communicates an important truth for us. It's in verse 29. It says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. The future is built by what you do today. Use well what God has given you, what he's entrusted you with right now, and see what he does in your future. We want to be like the first two servants that maximize the resources and then are even given more. So, steward well what God has given you. Now, the last thing that I want to share about my dad, a couple of years ago, I was honoring him on the day that he had passed away. And I was just sharing some of the things I remembered about him. And I asked, I said on the post on social media, I just said, if you knew my dad, would you mind sharing with me what you remember about him? And not long after I had posted it, then people start commenting, friends from high school, friends from elementary, and some people I hadn't heard from in years. And they saw that, and these are the things that they were saying. They were talking about how much he loved my mom. They were talking about what a great example of a loving marriage they were for them. They said things like he was always one of the loudest fans cheering his kids on. And I immediately went to this basketball game. I was playing in North Platte, Nebraska, where my dad almost got kicked out because he was just too passionate. He was just so loud and, oh. And then I had a friend that I had not heard from since we graduated high school. His name's Adam, and Adam said, it was your dad that in one conversation I had with him, he told me, Adam, go to college. You may change your mind about what you're studying and whatnot, but go to college. Go get started on your education, and you'll never regret that. And chances are, if you don't go to college right away, it's going to be really hard for you to then take that next step. And Adam said that changed his life. That my dad, and Adam was, we were around each other. Cozad's not that big. We were around each other a lot, but it wasn't like Adam and I were best friends, and he was always around my dad. My dad had one moment with Adam, and he spoke something into Adam's life that changed the course of his life. And And this is what I learned about God from my dad. That as busy as my dad was, when he was with you, he was with you. Now, I grew up in the era before the smartphone came along. Okay, I get this is an area, like an era of distraction. But my dad, oh man, when you were with him, he was with you. And the reason I love that so much about my dad is because that was such a great example of what we see from the life of Jesus. Jesus was fully present. It didn't matter who he was with. It didn't matter what his plans were. It doesn't matter where he was off to and what he was going to do next. If someone was with him, Jesus was fully present. We've done a lot in the last couple months about sharing different stories about Jesus. You think about the woman at the well. Jesus was fully present with her. Even last week, Pastor Jeff talked about the story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, and you read through that interaction, you see Jesus was fully present with Zacchaeus. Recently in the mornings, I've been reading through the book of Mark, and I love the story of Bartimaeus, who was this man that was blind, and Jesus is followed by a crowd, and he's making his way past Bartimaeus, who's been blind since birth, and he's just yelling out for Jesus because he's heard the stories, and he wants to meet Jesus, and he wants to be healed. And everybody else, the crowd, is trying to tell Bartimaeus to be quiet. And he just keeps crying out for Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Does he brush him off? Does he cast him aside? Does he say, nope, I got too many other things that are more important. You're not on my schedule. No, he stops. And he's fully present with Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus walks away from his interaction with Jesus fully healed. With his sight repaired. Your best days are now. Your best days are now. And one of the best things that you can do to maximize today is to give the gift of presence. Give the gift of presence. You may not feel like your best days are now. You might feel distracted. You might feel like you've been carrying this weight. But give the gift of presence to those that you're around and watch what God does with it. When you're giving the gift of presence to your spouse, watch how God blesses your marriage. When your kids, you walk in and you've had a long day at work and you just want to relax, you want to get into your chair and kick your feet up and they ask you, hey, Dad, will you go play basketball? Say yes. And give them your presence. Because if we say no enough, if we live distracted enough, our kids, they'll stop asking us to hang out with them. They'll stop asking to go play basketball. They'll stop asking to read with them. They'll stop asking when they realize, oh, you got more important things when we're not present. So give the gift of presence. I want to wrap up with, I think, the most stirring, if I could say it that way, example of Jesus being present. At the crucifixion, Jesus is on a cross. His nails are put through his hands. He's been tortured. He's had the crown of thorns pressed into his head. He's been whipped. He's been tortured. He's bloody. He's beaten. He's hanging on this cross, and there are two other criminals that are on crosses next to Jesus. And in Luke chapter 23, we see this interaction. And I don't know about you, but when I read through this, and I think if Jesus can be present in this moment, then I can be present for my wife. I can be present for my kids. I can get beyond what maybe stress I've been carrying in my life, and I can be present with whomever I'm with. Luke 23, starting in verse 39, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah? He's saying, you're the Savior? You're the one that's supposed to change the world, okay? Well, you're supposed to save, like, prove it by saving yourself and then us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. He realized that this other one was mocking him. He was mocking Jesus. The other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We, speaking to the other criminal, we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's professing faith in Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, I've had it wrong all my life, and right here at the very end of my life, I'm realizing you are the Messiah. Remember me when you are in your kingdom. And Jesus replied with the gift of his presence. Think about that. He's beaten. He's been tortured. Jesus knows the end is near. If he would have stopped in that moment and not been fully present with a criminal that he had no relationship with prior to that moment, I don't know if any of us would have blamed him. But what does Jesus do? He gives the gift of his presence, and his response is, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Jesus is here. God, our Heavenly Father, is here right now in this moment. He is giving you the gift of his presence. What will you do with it? All throughout his word, there's a common theme that he is with you. That we can be strong, we can be courageous because he's with us. They will call him Emmanuel, God with us. God is giving you and me the gift of his presence today. What will you do with it? Will you maximize it? Will you cry out to him in worship? Will you get honest with him as a moment of prayer and reflection? And in so doing, reciprocate the gift that he's given you by giving him the gift of your presence. He wants to meet with you right here, right now. So I invite you to stand to your feet. Let us pray, and then let us go into a time of responding to our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you that you are a good Father. God, that in our struggles, in our pain, in our suffering, in the times where we drift and we live life according to our way, you're a good Father. That our failings and our mistakes don't change that about you. We can't change your character. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are a good Father. And so because of that, because you have given us your best, because you're right here in our midst, giving us your presence, God, we want to give our presence back to you. We want to be focused. We want to be open, and we want to be honest with you. We ask that you would speak to us in this time, that you would point out to us through hindsight the error of our ways so that we can come back into alignment with you. God, we want to listen to what it is you have to say about us. How do you see us? Speak to us today, right here in this moment. We pray that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.